Romans 8:1, there is now, therefore now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, the rest of the phrase in the King James, New King James says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Actually, that's not in the original Greek text. Paul never put that in there. Translators, religious-minded translators did. That last phrase is not in the original text. If you look at the NIV, some of the more modern translations, it stops with the word Jesus. That's what Paul said. So, there it is. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Period. If you're born again, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, God is not condemning you. There is no condemnation. All of your condemnation was poured out at the cross. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Well, Pastor, if you keep preaching that, then you give people a license to sin. If I'm not being condemned, then I can do anything I want to do. Well, the problem with that is when you get born again and you find out that there's no condemnation, the want to is gone. Can I tell you, if you have a want-to down deep in your heart, you want to continue to sin, you just want to do that, can I tell you, you need to be born again? Amen. Your heart condition's wrong. You need to be born again. If you're trying to quit but can't, you need to be born again. Or you need to, if you are born again, you need to hear the message of the gospel. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56 says that the law is the strength of sin. Amen. The law is the strength of sin. Notice that? What causes sin to be strong in your life? The law. What law is he referring to here? He's referring to the law of Moses. Amen. He's referring specifically not only to the ceremonial law, but to the Ten Commandments. Amen. Amen. You know, the harder you try to keep the Ten Commandments, the more you're going to sin. Yeah. Thank you for those four amens. Because the law of Moses was not designed to make you holy. The law of Moses was designed to make you needy.
That's right.
So that you would turn and find a Savior.
That's right.
You will never become holy by trying to keep the 10 rules.
Amen.
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 In fact, the harder you try to keep the law of Moses, the more you're going to find you need a Savior.
Amen.
Can I tell you, quit trying to be holy and get Christ on the inside of you and He will live through you.
Yes, He will.
This is an effortless, peaceful faith. Amen. Jesus said, called it the gospel of peace. Wherever the gospel is preached, turmoil is done. It's the gospel of peace. It creates peace. Who all is experiencing more peace than ever in their life? Praise God. And here's what I've noticed. People that get peace in their own heart, their marriages become peaceful.
Amen.
People that get peace, husbands and wives that get peace in their heart through the grace of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, their marriages are no longer, they're no longer slamming each other. Because when you are made right by Christ, you no longer have a need to always be right.
Amen.
You know, most marriages are messed up because one or the other always has to be right.
That's right.
You know, Christians have a terrible addiction to always being right. You know, we think it's our job to put down everybody that had an abortion.
Wow.
No doubt abortion's a sin. No doubt abortion's a murder. But what about the lady that did it, that after she had the abortion, now she feels like she's going to hell?
Amen.
And then they see a bunch of Christians carrying banners in front of abortion clinics. You baby killers are going to hell. Well, that'll sure help somebody get saved. We were just at a Christian, wonderful, glorifying Christian concert in West Virginia. And took our sons down there, the same group that was here at the church, singing things, glorifying God. It was an outdoor arena, and Baptist churches and Methodist churches and different churches got together and brought this group in, and just something for the kids. You understand, kids do not understand accordions and pipe organs. Amen. Nothing wrong with the older generation. If you like just a piano and an organ, that's fine. But we've got another generation coming up. We got to reach that generation.
Right.
Psalm says, one generation shall proclaim to the next the glories of the Lord. It's our job to get this to the next generation. Do you know why so many churches are full of old people and no young people? Because they're selfish.
Yes.
And they whine about young people not being there, yet they don't want to change what they're doing. Einstein said the epitome of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
Right.
You keep singing songs from 1822, you're still going to get people born in 1822 in your church. Amen. Or it's too loud. Or it's too quiet. Amen. And I don't like the carpet. Why'd you change that? It's too long. It's too short. One time I cut a short sermon down to 20 minutes. Had a first-time visitor. He said he wouldn't come back because I didn't preach long enough. So I preached long the next week, and a church member said, "You preach too long." Well, I'll be honest with you. This is not a church for unhappy people. You know what? There are some people Jesus himself couldn't make happy. That's the truth. So I've just made my mind up. I'm just going to be happy myself. If you want to be miserable, listen, you know, if there's one party I won't come to, and that's your pity party. Not coming. I got too much living to do to be around somebody that is a 50-year-old and a two-year-old mind. Do you know there's some 40 and 50-year-old? Boy, I need to get nights. I'm being mean. I'm going to tell it like it is. Well, you know, Joyce Meyer can tell it like it is, and everybody loves it. But a local pastor does, and people get mad. Maybe I should put a wig and high heels on, then you'd be all right. Happiness is a choice. Happiness is a choice. I'll tell you why you're grumbling is because you're spoiled and you always want it your way. But this isn't Burger King. And I'm not a fast food chef. So you ain't going to have it your way here. We're going to have it his way. You know, I'm not a betting man. I'm not a betting man. But if I was, I could bet you $10,000 that you cannot find any place in the Gospels where Jesus called a sinner, a harlot, an addict, a snake. He never called one harlot, one sinner, he never called him a snake. I could win that. That'd be a $10,000 bet I'd win. But he sure did call the church folks that. The self-righteous people that. The ones always looking down the nose and pointing at those that are they call in the gutter. But you know what? There's not only a gutter in the street. There's a gutter in some churches. It's called the religious gutter. I grew up in that culture, a defeated culture. And it's not the gospel. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Bible says if you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you reign. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We're victorious. He made us conquerors. We're healed in Jesus' name. But aren't you glad there is no more condemnation to those that are in Christ? The strength of sin is the law, and the gospel of peace brings peace into your heart. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, I just want to look at this quickly before we go. Go with me over to Colossians, if you would. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. I want to show you a couple of scriptures before we leave that makes it very clear that through the death of Christ, through his work on the cross, you have been forgiven. Are you listening to me? Amen. You've not only been forgiven of what you did in the past, you are forgiven of what you've done in the future. Now, how can that be? Because, see, when I got saved in 1975, came to the altar on a Wednesday night, knelt, accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, my dear pastor put his arms around me. He's went home to be with the Lord now. Put his arms around me, hugged me, and then the deacons made it very clear to me, now that you're a Christian, you better live right. I mean, they didn't tell me that before, but now you better tell them. In other words, thank God your past sins are forgiven, but now you better keep short accounts. I mean, as soon as you miss it, you better get it straight. You better get it right. Amen? But I'm here to tell you, your whole life was forgiven before you were born. God just waiting for you to accept that and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Look at somebody and say, you're forgiven. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. I'll just be honest with you. I don't want to hear any more condemnation. I don't want to hear any more angry preachers preaching to me about an angry God. Amen. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. I want you to see from several scriptures, we'll walk through these, that you now have the gift of forgiveness. And that gift itself will make you live a holy life. Hallelujah. It'll change your heart. It'll affect your heart. Praise God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, it says this. Go back to verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What do you have? So why do you keep asking for it? You have it. Why do you keep asking for something that's already yours?
That's right, amen.
Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Well, Pastor, I've never heard that before. Well, it's in the Word, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Ephesians chapter 1. Can I say something to you? The doctrine of forgiveness is not a basic doctrine. It is a doctrine that most of the world knows nothing about.
Amen.
They don't understand they're completely forgiven. Do you understand? Can I blow your religious mind for it? Do you understand that even sinners are already forgiven? They just haven't received it yet. But some of them think they're going to hell and God will never forgive them and they've done so much. Forget it. It's hopeless. If I go to church, the roof will cave in. God will never forgive me. I've done so much and done too much. I could never be forgiven. And what they need to hear is, brother, there ain't no going to be to it. You already are forgiven. Yeah, but you don't know all I've done. No, but I know all he's done. And I know the cross is a lot better than some little sin you think you committed. I don't care if you murdered a million people. There is forgiveness. You are forgiven. Amen. And you know, as soon as a man realizes he's forgiven and received Jesus into his heart, he'll never murder another man.
Amen.
First John chapter 3 says, we know we have the life of God in us because we love the brethren. He that hates his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer has eternal life abiding on the inside of him. I mean, you may have murdered a million people, but if you'll come to Jesus and receive him as Lord and Savior, you receive your forgiveness. God will never mention it again. And it will also make you never murder another person because your nature changes on the inside. Look at somebody and say, there's no murderer in here. I'm going to tell you something else. If you're born of God, there's no liar in there. There's no drug dealer in there. There's no addict in there. There's no adulterer in there. Hallelujah. Amen. You've got God in you. You've got Christ on the inside of you. That old man is gone and all things are new. Man, I am a new creation in Christ. I'm trying to talk to you from the depth of my heart today. I've been changed. Ain't no joke about it. I've been changed, man. Gloriously changed. And I'm so thankful for it. You know what? You can be changed too. But you're going to have to make your mind up to stop playing games with yourself. Y'all sense the Holy Ghost saying that today? I don't know who I'm talking to. It's none of my business. I'm a messenger boy. Whoever it's for, receive the message. God loves you. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. I'm getting long-winded. It's getting too long. Ephesians 1, 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Woo, he made you accepted. He did it. He made you accepted. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What do you have in him? The forgiveness of sins. What do you do, Pastor, when you miss it and you sin? Well, what I do is I say, Father, that wasn't right. And that wasn't really what was in my heart. But Father, I thank you so much that even this mistake here, this sin here, was covered by the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
And I just want to stop for a minute and thank you that I have the forgiveness of sins. And I thank you that you're working inside of me that I don't continue to let my flesh continue to trip me up.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Say it with me. I have the forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
Now, we're going to finish this up. Mark chapter 4. Praise God. Are you with me today?
Yes.
You're forgiven. Now, you know, everybody in hell, man, the Lord said this to me about 3 months ago, and it shocked me. I was standing right there worshiping the Lord, and the Spirit of God on the inside of me said this to me. He said, everybody in hell is forgiven. They just never received it. And then he said to me, it shocked me. I thought, I never thought of it that way. Everybody in hell is forgiven. Then he said to me, and everybody in heaven, they're forgiven.
Amen.
He said, the difference is they received it.
Amen.
So I told that man, I said, you don't know my heart. He says, yes, I do know your heart, and you're going to hell. Do you know when you get into religion and preaching legalism and the law and condemnation, you think you know people's hearts? You'll judge their heart on what they wear. You'll judge their heart on the music they listen to. You'll judge their heart on where they live. I know what they're like. I know where they live. They live on the other side of the tracks. I know what they're thinking. Oh, really, God? My Bible says only God knows a man's heart. See, if we're not careful, we prejudge people by the outward appearance. And Jesus said, you judge the outward appearance, but only God knows the heart. Amen. But you know, I made a fool of myself judging something one time, and it taught me a great lesson. My mother died in 1995 of stomach cancer. Loved the Lord, went home to be with the Lord. 3 years later, my dad remarried. A wonderful lady. A wonder, great, great nanny to my children. A great, great person. And he wanted, before they got married, he wanted the three sons, well, the two, my brothers in Tennessee, to go meet her daughters at Thanksgiving. So we're at her house. They're grown daughters. Here's Pastor Mills at the table. And I'm supposed to make a good impression for my father, you know. And the daughters, Sue's daughters, are helping to serve dinner. And I turned around to Sue's, one of her daughters, and I said, so when are you due? She stopped and said, I'm not pregnant. How many of you know I wanted to find a hole and hide in it? Well, there was uncomfortable snickering and laughter, and my face felt really hot and flushed. And I thought, you fool. That's what you get for assuming you know somebody by looking at them. Right. You know, I'll tell you something. It's two things I'll never ask. Right. Number one, when did you turn 50? And number two, when are you due? I mean, the baby could be having arms and legs stuck out. And I'm not asking. But you know, it's true in other areas. You look at somebody's outward, but religious people, that guy looked at me because I was at that concert. He sent me to hell. Mark 11:26, and whenever you stand praying, Jesus said, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Jesus was ministering before his death, burial, and resurrection. And when you study the Gospels and study the ministry of Jesus, you have to know who he's talking to and what he's talking about. Because the new covenant was not yet in place. And so you have to, part of biblical interpretation is to know who's talking, who's he talking to, and what for. Jesus, in talking here, was not talking to Christians. He was talking to the Jews about the law of Moses. And in the law of Moses, if you didn't forgive your brother, God cannot forgive you. Are you with me? And do you know that's preached much in the church? If you don't forgive, I've heard national speakers say, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. But we just read over in Colossians, you already have the forgiveness of sins. So which is it? You have to understand and rightly divide the word of God and know what is old covenant and what is new covenant. So, he said, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. Now, we don't forgive under the new covenant in order to get God to forgive us.
No.
You're already forgiven. We don't forgive because we fear if we don't, God won't forgive us. That means if you die with just a little bit of a grudge, you're going to hell. Even if you got saved. I mean, well, just think about this now. Let's say you're in a hospital, you're on your deathbed, and the nurse is trying to draw blood, and she does it wrong, and it hurts, and you go, oh, quit it! Well, if you interpret that verse literally, you didn't have time to forgive them, so God couldn't forgive you, so you went to hell with a pinprick in your wrist. Can I bring this home now? Ephesians 4:32. How and why do we forgive others? I just want you to see that you are completely forgiven. Why do we forgive? We don't forgive to get forgiven. Jesus purchased our forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another so that God will forgive you. What's your Bible say? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Listen, we don't forgive to be forgiven. We forgive because we are forgiven.